Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 10 years ago this past May that Massachusetts became the first state to legalize same-sex marriage. Since that time, many other states have put the issue onto their ballots, only to have it voted down time and time again from state to state. Even in those states considered, in many respects, to be quite liberal, the will of the people proved to be quite traditional when it came to the legal union and definition of marriage. But regardless of the will of the people, one by one, more and more states have begun to allow same-sex marriage as the legal ban against such has been overturned by the will and the rulings of individual judges. And as the growing acceptance of same-sex marriage has begun to sweep the nation, many in the church have become worried. And some leaders in the church have taken to speaking out against the legalization of this broadened definition of marriage. But this is just the latest societal issue which has challenge the Christian ethics and values with which we were all raised. But there have been many others in the past, such as abortion and euthanasia, and whether or not to legalize such things as marijuana and prostitution and gambling and pornography, and once upon a time, even alcohol. And each time that our society faces a new moral crisis and gives in to the behavior that offends our Christian sensitivities, we, the church, get a little more angry with our society. And we dig our heels into the cement a little bit deeper. And we become a little more vocal about our moral outrage and disgust. And the more we, as the church, vocally express our condemnation of society's sins, the less chance that we will ever have of reaching them for Jesus. You see, the lost of this world will never be saved if they don't hear of Jesus and his love and his sacrifice. And they will never hear of those things if we cut off all lines of communication with them because we are so offended by their sins. And we so offend them with our righteous indignation. We, as the church, must become more focused on saving the lost than we are on condemning the lost's behavior, and more committed to Christ's commission than we are to our own moral comfort. And one of the best ways to do this is to understand Luther's concept of the two kingdoms of God, that of his right and his left hand. God's right hand kingdom is the kingdom of God's grace, that which we live under through the gospel. This speaks to our spiritual lives in Christ, how we live in relation to God and to others by virtue of our Christian faith. It is eternal in nature, and pertains to our life in and as the church. But we also live in the kingdom of God's left hand, which is under the authorities and governments of this world. This is an earthly kingdom and speaks of our present relationships and responsibilities in and to our society. It is temporal in nature and pertains to the laws and authorities under which we live in this world. One of the great mistakes of the church throughout the ages has been its failure to recognize that these two kingdoms exist and that our relationship to each is vastly different. Within the church, within God's kingdom of grace, His right hand, among fellow believers, we are called to instruct and correct and reprove each other so that we might grow in our sanctified lives and in our Christian maturity. But in regard to those outside the church, outside of God's kingdom of grace, those out in the world, our calling is to be witnesses that shine the light of Christ's love into their lives. Our calling is not to correct and reprove their behavior. And finally, as we live out our lives in the left-hand kingdom of God, Paul instructs us, as does St. Peter also, to submit ourselves to the authorities that be, whether those authorities be just and fair or not. And the justification that Peter gives for doing this is none other than that of Christ Himself, who submitted Himself to the left-hand powers that be in His day, that being the kingdom of Rome, to suffer an unjust fate in order to win our forgiveness. As Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate, He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, My servants would fight to prevent My arrest. Likewise, if Jesus' kingdom were of this world, He and His servants would have fought to change the immoral culture and the injustices of Rome. But they didn't, because His kingdom is not of this world. And if Jesus' kingdom were of this world, He would have commissioned us to fight the powers that be so that we could create countries and nations that reflect the church. But He didn't. Rather, He commissioned us to disciple all nations. And He commanded us through His apostles to submit ourselves to the authorities. Again, both to those that are just and even to those that are not. Jesus' earthly mission was to die and to rise, to forgive the world of its sin, that all those who believe in Him might live with Him in eternity. His mission on this earth was not to create some type of universal utopian kingdom that we might all live under here in this world. Too often, we as Christians fail to recognize that we live in these two distinct kingdoms. And we try to make the kingdom of the left hand look like the kingdom of the right hand. We make public statements condemning a variety of worldly practices, all the while alienating ourselves from the very people that we have been called to reach for Jesus. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside." Now, this is not to say that we can't or that we shouldn't be involved in the voting, the policy-making process in our nation. We can and we should, if we feel so led by our conscience. We, as individual Christians and as the church, are never to become tolerant of sin in any form. But we must always recognize that our fundamental calling and mission is not aimed at controlling and transforming people's behavior, but at saving and transforming people's hearts. And thus, our focus as the church must be to get ourselves back in line with what God's Word teaches us and calls us to do. We must resolve to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We must concern ourselves with the Great Commission and Christ's command to disciple all people, Matthew 28. We must commit ourselves to doing good to all people, but especially to those who belong to the family of faith, Galatians chapter 6. And we must learn to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus once said, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul?" I think we might ask a similar question. What will it profit a man, or what will it profit a nation, if they learn to follow the Ten Commandments and yet forfeit their souls? You see, no amount of righteous living will ever bring anyone even one step closer to their salvation. For we have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And only the forgiveness wrought by Jesus' suffering, by His death, and by His resurrection can save us or save anyone. We, the people of God, we live the way that we do, and we have the morals and the ethics that we have because Jesus has saved us. We live in His kingdom of grace through faith, a faith which He has created in us, and thus we've been washed of all of our sins. But the only way those outside of His right-hand kingdom will ever possibly become those inside this kingdom is through our proclamation and our living out of the gospel, not the law. We must live as a light that shines forth Jesus' love and Jesus' forgiveness on those who are lost in their sin, and not as the gavel that pronounces judgment on all those who are simply lost. We live in two kingdoms, both belonging to and reigned over by God, but each separate in our Christian expectations and responsibilities. Only as we keep these two kingdoms distinct can we fulfill our God-given calling and duty to disciple, to love, to serve, and to submit to the glory of God and to the spread of His kingdom of grace. We do all this for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.